Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, Happy Money, The Japanese Art of Making Peace with Your Money by Ken Honda approaches personal finance through the lens of emotion, mindset, and everyday behavior. Rather than treating money as a purely mathematical problem, the book highlights how feelings such as gratitude, fear, guilt, and anxiety shape earning, spending, saving, and giving. Honda, known in Japan for popularizing approachable financial education, frames money as a form of energy that can either flow smoothly through your life or get stuck through stress and conflict. The central idea is that a healthier relationship with money can lead to better decisions and a calmer life, even before your income or net worth changes. Readers are guided to notice their money stories, identify patterns that create tension, and practice simple habits that make financial life feel more intentional. The book blends practical reflections with a culturally influenced emphasis on harmony, connection, and mindful choices, aiming to help readers experience money as supportive rather than adversarial. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, money as emotional energy and why feelings matter. A core theme is that money is never just numbers on a screen. It carries emotional charge from past experiences, family attitudes, and social pressure. The book argues that financial stress often persists because people try to solve emotional issues with purely technical fixes, like budgeting apps or stricter rules, without addressing the underlying relationship. When money is associated with fear, shame, or scarcity, decisions become reactive, overspending for comfort, avoiding bank statements, or clinging to savings without clarity. By contrast, when money is associated with appreciation and trust, choices become calmer and more consistent. This perspective reframes common financial problems as signals. Anxiety can signal a lack of clarity, resentment can signal misaligned values, and guilt can signal a mismatch between spending and identity. The approach encourages readers to observe money emotions without self-punishment, then redesign habits to reduce friction. The practical implication is that mindset work is not a substitute for financial planning. It is the foundation that makes planning sustainable. In this view, emotional stability becomes a measurable asset because it improves follow-through and reduces costly impulsive decisions. Secondly, transforming your money story and releasing inherited beliefs, the book emphasizes that many people live inside a money story they did not consciously choose. Childhood messages, cultural expectations, and early financial shocks can create scripts such as, "Money is hard to earn, rich people are selfish, I do not deserve abundance, or I must sacrifice joy to be responsible." These beliefs can quietly shape career choices, negotiation behavior, and the willingness to invest in learning. Honda encourages readers to identify the phrases they repeat internally and examine where they came from, because naming a belief weakens its control. The point is not to force positive thinking, but to replace rigid narratives with more flexible and compassionate ones. For example, shifting from "I am bad with money" to "I am learning money skills" changes behavior because it invites practice instead of avoidance. The book also links money stories to relationships, noting how conflict can arise when partners or families hold different scripts about security and generosity. By clarifying your own story, you can communicate needs and boundaries more calmly. This topic serves as the bridge between psychology and action. Once you see the belief driving a habit, you can design a new habit that matches your values and circumstances. Thirdly, gratitude-based spending and the practice of happy money, a distinctive element is the idea that the way you spend matters as much as what you spend on. The book describes happy money as money exchanged with appreciation, care, and positive intention, creating a feeling of satisfaction that lasts longer than the purchase itself. Unhappy money, by contrast, is spent with resentment, anxiety, or obligation, often leading to buyer remorse or a sense of depletion. The practical takeaway is to build rituals that connect spending to gratitude. This can look like pausing before a purchase to ask whether it supports your life, choosing to pay bills with appreciation for the services received, and reflecting on purchases that genuinely improved your well-being. The book also highlights generosity, suggesting that giving, when done freely and within your means, can convert money from a source of tension into a source of connection. Importantly, the message is not to spend more. It is to spend in a way that aligns with values and reduces internal conflict. When gratitude becomes part of transactions, readers are more likely to prioritize quality over impulse, choose experiences that deepen relationships, and feel less trapped by comparison-driven consumption. Fourthly, earning, receiving, and clearing blocks to abundance beyond spending, the book explores how people receive money, including salary, gifts, opportunities, and recognition. Many individuals unknowingly resist receiving because of guilt, low self-worth, or a belief that needing support is weakness. This resistance can show up as undercharging, avoiding raises, dismissing compliments, or feeling uncomfortable when someone pays you well. Honda frames receiving as a skill that can be practiced with grace, not a personality trait you either have or do not have. The goal is to create an internal environment where income increases do not trigger panic or self-sabotage. This involves noticing where you feel tightness around asking, negotiating, and being seen. The book suggests that clarity about your contribution helps because it makes receiving feel fair rather than awkward. Another angle is that abundance is not only about higher income, but also about smoother flow, timely payments, organized systems, and fewer money leaks caused by avoidance. When you respect money by tracking it and making clean agreements, it becomes easier to earn and keep. This topic encourages readers to treat financial growth as both inner work and external skill building. Lastly, making peace with money through simple habits and conscious choices, the book aims to reduce the sense of battle many people feel with money by recommending small, repeatable practices that restore calm. Making peace begins with awareness, knowing what comes in, what goes out, and what each category represents in your life. Instead of harsh restriction, the emphasis is on alignment. Readers are encouraged to build routines that feel supportive, such as regular check-ins, planned generosity, and spending that reflects priorities. Another important habit is decluttering financial relationships, including subscriptions you no longer value, obligations taken on out of guilt, and workplace patterns that drain your energy. The book also points to the power of intention setting, deciding in advance what money is for, rather than letting it disappear through default choices. Over time, these habits create trust in yourself, which is crucial because financial stability depends on consistent behavior more than short bursts of discipline. The approach is particularly useful for people who have tried traditional personal finance methods and still feel anxious because it provides a way to address emotional triggers while staying practical. Peace with money is presented as a daily practice that builds confidence and freedom. In conclusion, this book is best suited for readers who feel stuck in money anxiety, guilt, or avoidance, even if they already understand basic budgeting and saving. It also fits people who want a more humane approach to finances, including creatives, caregivers, entrepreneurs, and anyone whose income or identity is closely tied to self-worth. The benefit is not just feeling better, a calmer relationship with money tends to improve real outcomes. When you reduce fear and shame, you are more likely to track spending, negotiate fairly, pay bills on time, and invest in goals that matter. The book encourages choices that align with values, which can lead to fewer impulse purchases, healthier boundaries, and more meaningful generosity. Compared to similar personal finance titles that focus heavily on tactics, this one stands out by addressing the emotional and relational layer that often drives financial behavior. It complements traditional advice rather than replacing it, making it a worthwhile purchase for readers who have tried spreadsheets and rules but still feel tense. By focusing on gratitude, receiving, and mindful flow, it offers a clear pathway to making money feel like a supportive tool in everyday life. If you would like to support Ken Honda, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.